Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome for our Sunday feast lecture at New Dwarka. My name is Nandini Radha Devi Dasi, and today I will be making a very special presentation on cows. And we'll be discussing a lot of different things about the cow, why the cow is regarded so sacred in the Vedic scriptures, especially in India, and even here in certain cases. And I'm very grateful to His Grace Vyas Prabhu, who allowed me to make this presentation. This is particularly dear to my heart. Cows are very dear to me. So we'll start the presentation. We'll try to finish it by 6 o'clock. I have a lot of slides, but I'll be happy to take questions at the end of the presentation. And I have some flyers as well towards the end. So please feel free to come and approach me as I end the class. So we'll start right now. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srila Radhanath Swami Niti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. So before I start the presentation, I want all of you to find out 3 paintings in the temple room where Krishna is standing or sitting with a cow. Please look around yourselves. There's 3. There's one there and there's 2 here. So the point I'm trying to make here is there in that painting, Krishna is a little baby. And there's a cow or a calf present there. As he grows up a little bit older, he's a gopa. He is given the charge of herding the cows and the calves. And even when Krishna is a full youth, he's always surrounded with cows. So the important part is, why is the cow so important in the Vedic scriptures? This is what we'll be discussing besides other aspects. So the agenda of my presentation, there's a lot that I'll be discussing today. First of all, I'll give you statements from our scriptures which will provide you evidence why the cows are so sacred. And then I'll discuss a few pastimes, just very brief pastimes, how Krishna and Balaram behave with the cows. Then my third aspect would be discussing the qualities of a cow, what makes the cow so special and so divine. And then we'll discuss something very interesting about cow products. What do we get out of the cow besides the milk, and what are the benefits of these products? And then we'll switch gears and talk about something really horrific, what is going on in the world today in this age of Kali Yuga, particularly with the slaughter industry and so forth. And then I'll end my presentation by giving you examples of quotes from people who are very famous all over the world and who are advocating vegetarianism. And finally, we'll discuss what our organization, ISKCON, is doing about protecting the wonderful cows. So the first several slides will just give you statements specifically from the Bhagavatam and different scriptures which shows you how important the cows are. And our founder, Acharya, has given us very extensive purports where he has discussed why the cow and the bull should be protected full-fledgedly. So this is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm just going to read it. The cow is the mother and the bull the father of the human being. The cow is the mother because the human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. So the cow, according to the Vedas, is regarded as a mother. Why? Because she is giving us milk. And that milk is very important for our subsistence, without which we would not be able to develop. Srila Prabhupada continues, in every Shastra, cow killing is condemned. Indeed, one who kills a cow must suffer for as many years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. Have any of you attempted to count the number of hairs on a cow's body? It's like saying how many stars are there in the universe. Absolutely impossible to count. So someone who is responsible directly or indirectly for the murder of a cow is going to take birth as many times as many hairs on the cow. Prabhupada continues, those who desire to eat meat may satisfy the demands of their tongues by eating lower animals, but they should never ever kill cows. Continues, the cow's calf is not only beautiful to look at, but also gives a lot of satisfaction to the mother cow, as she delivers milk as possible. But in the Kali Yuga, the calves are separated within 2 days from the time of their birth. Then the cow stands with tears in her eyes. The Shudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially. And when there is no milk, what happens to the cow? She is sent for slaughter. These greatly sinful acts are responsible for all the troubles that are existing in our society today. So it is very important that we as citizens of this planet respect our other citizens, the cows and the bulls. Because if we keep the cows and the bulls happy, it is natural that we as a human population would also be very joyful. The bull is regarded as the representative of religion or dharma, and the cow represents Mother Earth. This is a very famous quote from Vishnu Puran. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable deity for all Brahminical men, who is the well-wisher of cows and Brahmins, and who is always benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead, known as Krishna and Govinda. In Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna is saying himself that among the cows, he is the Surabhi. Surabhi is the name of the cow who exists in the spiritual planets. And all the cows that you see on our earth planet are actually descending from that one spiritual cow known as Surabhi, which I'll talk about a bit later. In the Skanda Puran, it is stated, offering respect to the cows will help the devotee to diminish the reactions to his past sinful activities. In the Brahma Vaivarat Puran, this is a very important quote, and this is very prominently followed by India, by Indians in India, because it is stated that all demigods live in the bodies of cows. The holy places of pilgrimage live in the cow's legs. Mother Lakshmi, the wife of Lord Narayan, lives in the cow's heart. A person who puts tilak on his forehead with the mud that has touched a cow's hoof has at once attained the result of bathing in a holy place. That is the superior position of the mother cow. So in our Vedas, in our Vedic scriptures, there are seven mothers. And the cow is regarded as one of the seven mothers. You can read who are the mothers. We have a real mother who gives birth to us. Then we have the wife of the spiritual master, the wife of a Brahmin, the wife of the king, the cow, the nurse, and finally the Mother Earth. So as followers of Krishna consciousness, why do we have to pay such prominence to cows? And the answer is very simple, because God is a cowherd boy, right? Krishna is a cowherd boy. So as devotees of Krishna, it is our prime responsibility to protect the cows. So if something is very dear to Krishna and we don't protect something that is dear to Krishna, that is not going to please him. So we should make every effort, even if it's a small, tiny effort in our lifetime, we should protect the cows. And I'll give you means towards the end of my class how you can assist in the protection of our cows. So Krishna, the word Krishna means very beautiful and very attractive. And his name is linked to the word go. The word go means cow. And Krishna's other names are Gopal, which means protector of the cows, or Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the cows. It is stated that the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, specifically descended on this planet to show us how to love the cows, how to serve them, and how to protect them. It is said that Krishna Balaram, when they used to go to the forests, Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini would tell them to wear beautiful shoes full of jewels. And what would the brothers respond back to their mothers? We will not wear any shoes because there are no shoes for our calves. And since our calves are going barefoot in the forest, we also prefer to go barefoot. That was the level of love that Krishna and Balaram had for their little cows and calves. It is said Krishna would personally kiss the cows. He would feed them very soft, fresh green grass, and he would offer them water with his own lotus hands. And when he played his flute, the cows would immediately come running to him. And the cows would raise their ears and drink the nectar of the flute that Krishna used to play. And the calves would stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts. The Bhagavatam continues, the cows, the bulls and the calves in the Vedic times were completely smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil, mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were covered with peacock feathers and they wore beautiful garlands and ornaments. So this should give you an idea how cows were treated in the Vedic times. They were regarded as very respected citizens of the kingdom and they were accorded the same respect as was given to every human being. Finally, Bhagavatam also says that Mother Yashoda and Rohini would always pray for the protection of Krishna and Balaram. And the way they would protect them was they would take the tail of the cow and kind of pass it close to the heads of Krishna and Balaram in order for the cow to protect the little babies. Bhagavatam continues, Krishna used to be thoroughly washed with cow urine and then he would be smeared with the dust raised by the movements of the cows. And then different names of the Lord were applied with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body. As followers of Krishna, we apply tilak on 12 faces on our body. Likewise, Mother Yashoda used to apply tilak, but that tilak used to be made up of cow dung. And finally, Srila Jiva Goswami also quotes in Gopala Champu, out of great affection for the cows of Raja, Krishna became the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He plays a song on his flute while exalted demigods standing along the path worship his lotus feet. Several of our acharyas, our predecessors, have written so much in different books about the cows, and I'm just going to skip over those, but I want to talk about this one. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states in Sri Krishna Samhita, Krishna is most complete in the pastimes of Raja. Therefore, objects of sweetness like cows, gopas, gopis, cowherd's dress, butter, forests, fresh leaves, the Yamuna, and the flute are the only wealth of Vrindavan. What is the need for other opulence there? And there are various other quotes by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his different books, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, as well as the Bhagavatam. This is a very interesting point. For those of you who've read the Bhagavatam, you can see the cows that Krishna used to play with were of four different colors. Red, black, green, yellow, and different shades of all these colors mixed together. And because of their colors and healthy smiling features, the atmosphere was very enlivening. It is said that the place where Krishna was reared in the household of Nand Maharaj, there were 900,000 cows. And Krishna remembered the name of each and every cow. He would call each one of those 900,000 cows by their names and they would come running to him. How do you think Krishna kept track of those names? Do you see we have a japa mala? Well, Krishna has a little mala which is made up of rubies and gems. And each gem is given the name of a cow. That's how he would remember the names of the cows. For each of the four colors, there would be 25 divisions, making a total of 100 colors. And each cow would be classified based on what kind of tilak she had on or what her face looked like. Some of the cows resembled a mridanga. So they would be called mridangamukhi. And some cows had the face of a lion. So they would be called simhamukhi and so on. You can read the Bhagavatam. It makes for very sweet reading. Krishna would personally call out to the cows. He would say, "Hey Dhavali." And then the whole group of white cows would come forward running towards him. Like that, he would call out for the cows which had different colors. And there are various other quotes, but we won't spend time reading all these quotes. But even in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, there were a lot of interactions with the cows. So Krishna Balaram, as I told you, particularly came to this planet to show us how to protect cows. Lord Balaram's favorite weapon is the plow, and the plow is used for tilling the land. So he is showing us how to protect the bulls. And Krishna always holds a flute in his hand. And with that flute, he beckons the cowherd damsels as well as the cows and the calves. So we have to follow what Krishna and Balaram have shown us. Basically, protection of the bulls and protection of the cows. The literary incarnation of Krishna, known as Vyasadeva, has specifically written in the Purans that the Vedas and sacrifice are the two best means for protection of this world. And both of these are supported by cow products like milk and ghee. Does everyone know what ghee is? I'm not sure if there's some new people here. Does everyone know what is ghee? Okay, so it's basically clarified butter. So now I'm going to talk about the amazing qualities of a cow. If I were to ask you, what is the number one quality of cow that attracts you, what would be your answer? And there have been various festivals here, particularly Srila Prabhupada's Memorial Day festival. And we get a wonderful cow somewhere from Temecula, I believe. There is a cow which comes here and the kids always pet the cows. So what quality attracts you the most in a cow? The cow, sorry Prabhu? Very gentle, very humble, and very pure. We'll discuss the various qualities of the cows. When you see a cow, a white cow always evokes a sense of piety. A cow is regarded as very serene by its nature, and since it does not eat meat, its constitution is very pure. So we'll discuss a few qualities of a cow. The first quality is the cow is regarded as a very pure creature, very auspicious. In fact, the Mahabharata, a very dedicated scripture, has an entire chapter dedicated to the worship of cow. And one of the great sages, Parashar Muni, has written a book called Krishi Parasar, glorifying the cow and the bull. The second feature of a cow is it always tends to be very clean. The cow and the bulls have a very high level of tolerance. They can tolerate a wide range of temperatures, surviving in bitter cold in the Scandinavian countries, as well as the dry, hot, humid climate of Africa, or the flooded tropical zones of Latin America. Cows can tolerate very harsh temperatures, but one thing they cannot tolerate is filth. And if you talk to cow experts who have been dedicating their lives for the upliftment of cows, they will tell you that if their area is not kept clean, the cow will quickly become diseased. So it's very important to understand that the cow by nature is a very clean living organism. The cow is also an emblem of peace. In fact, the word that we use, bucolic, comes from the Greek word bukolos, which means cowherd. And cows are generally not inclined to fight with one another for any reason. What kind of animals fight with one another over food? We've seen dogs fight over each other. We've seen pigs fight over each other. But you will never ever find a cow fighting with another cow. You would never ever find that because cow is very peaceful by nature. And the cow is very tolerant by nature. The cow will never ever attack you if you provide it lots of love and care. In fact, it is stated that the cow has a very high threshold for pain tolerance. And cows do not reveal their diseases very easily. They will not complain. You have to find out why the cow is acting the way it is acting. It's not going to complain. That is just a feature of the cow. And this is it's a very small baby cow. Looks like a little dog, but actually it's a cow. It's a calf, sorry. And then finally, another great quality of the cow is, it's very hard to cheat them. They're very straightforward. If you behave with them very straightforwardly, they'll behave very nicely with you. So the service that we render to the cows demands that we are very straightforward and honest with the cows and the bulls here. So the utility of the cow. There is a lot of hype where people say maintaining cattle today on this planet is not economically feasible because cattle are eating most of the human food. And this is a very incorrect statement. In fact, a study was done in the 1970s by a university professor from the University of Missouri. And he went to Bengal in India and conducted a very thorough studies on the cows there. And he found that far from depriving humans of food, the cows ate only inedible remains of harvested crops. And then they would convert those items into products of immediate utility. So if someone says that the cows and the bulls are a burden on the planet Earth, there couldn't be anything more worse than that, because that's a false statement. There are five products which are very popular and extensively used in our Vedic culture. And these five products are known as Panchagavya. Panch means five. These are milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine. The last two items may be a bit surprising for some of you, but I'm going to talk about why those are absolutely excellent ingredients that we should actually be using in our body. And all these five ingredients are required in all ritualistic ceremonies that we hold in our Vedic tradition. And today in India, a lot of different mini factories have emerged, thanks to ISKCON, which is focusing on utilizing these products from the cows. They have made cow tonics from urine. The cow dung has been made into medicinal tablets. You can use cow dung as a face mask, as a cosmetic. You can drink cow urine out of a can. Now cans are available which says cow urine. It's supposed to be fighting cancer. And of course, milk is great. The ghee is excellent for controlling cholesterol. Hardly anybody knows that, but ghee is absolutely wonderful for controlling cholesterol. And of course, yogurt and buttermilk are themselves good in their medicinal values. So what is the number one miracle food today? We all know there is nothing that comes close to milk. Why is milk regarded as a miracle food? Srila Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavatam, "There is a miracle in milk, for it contains all the necessary vitamins to sustain human life." And we'll discuss what the milk contains. It is said that one serving of a low-fat milk provides us 30% of our daily intake of calcium. That is the high level of calcium in milk. Very important for our bones. Prabhupada continues in the light of the Bhagavad. "For such important brain tissues, we require a sufficient quantity of milk and milk preparations. Ultimately, we need to protect the cow to derive the highest benefit from this important animal. The protection of cows, therefore, is not merely a religious sentiment, but a means to secure the highest benefit for human society. And knowledge and wisdom do come from the cows. If we drink the cow's milk, we will develop our brains. And once our brains are developed, we can understand transcendental knowledge in a better manner." So the cow milk is considered a complete food. And Srila Prabhupada often referred to milk as liquid religiosity. That's a very interesting term that he used. So what's so important about the milk? There are various sages and sadhus in India even today who have not eaten anything for their entire life, but they have completely been drinking milk from the day they were born. They have not eaten a single morsel of food. They have subsisted only on milk, and they are very healthy. And that is evidence enough to show you that milk is a complete food. It is filled with a large number of vitamins important for our immune functions, potassium, calcium, and iodine, important for our hormones, for our thyroid. There is a documented study, by the way, where it has been shown that milk protects colon cells from carcinogens. Carcinogens are cancer-causing agents. Milk is also known to prevent migraine and prevent obesity. And the yogurt also prevents premature aging. Milk is also the only source in a vegetarian diet which can provide us vitamin B12. Now, there is a lot of debate going on about vitamin B12. I'm not sure if you've been following that debate. What happens when you meet a person and you tell them you're a vegetarian? Let's say you meet a meat eater. The first reaction is, what's the first reaction when you tell them you're a vegetarian? How do you get your protein? And you tell them, I get it from my beans, my soya. There is enough documentation in the scientific literature which shows that lentils and cheese and peanuts have far higher level of proteins than a hamburger or a steak. But what about vitamin B12? Vitamin B12, yes, we do agree there is ample amount of vitamin B12 in meat products. But milk is also loaded with vitamin B12. So if someone tries to convince you that you need to take the tablets or the capsules which have animal-derived products because they will provide you vitamin B12, that is not true. You can get your vitamin B12 simply by drinking milk. In fact, vitamin B12, which is harvested from meat products, is actually loaded with toxins and adrenaline, which is abounding in the meat itself. Yogurt is the second product, and yogurt is fantastic for balancing the three doshas in the Ayurveda. The three doshas in Ayurveda are mucus, bile, and air. And when this balance is disturbed, that's when we get a disease. So if you drink yogurt, if you have yogurt or drink buttermilk, this balance can be maintained, provided you do it regularly. Butter, the wonder conversion of milk, is known to purify air, bile, as well as blood. And butter is also found to cure tuberculosis, piles, and it's an excellent antidote to coughing, provided the butter is pure, coming from good quality milk. Finally, ghee, which is regarded as liquid gold. Ghee is very good for complexion. It makes your complexion very smooth, makes you look very young. It enhances the memory. It controls the fire in the stomach, which is very important for digestion, and also regulates the air inside our bodies. In fact, the Vedic ghee is regarded as liquid gold. And this is a very interesting synopsis that I dug out. The ghee can be aged. As cheese can be aged, the ghee can also be aged. Ghee which is 10 years old is known as jheen. Ghee which is about 100 or 1,000 years old is known as komb. And ghee which is more than 1,100 years old is known as mahagrit. But the ghee which is coming from the indigenous Indian cows, which is very pure, is very dark yellow in color, has a very strong fragrance, and never ever freezes, even when kept in a deep freezer. Ghee is also rich in conjugated linolenic acid, which prevents cancer, obesity, and atherosclerosis. Hence, ghee is an excellent cooking medium to enhance our memory as well as stamina. And in most of our ISKCON temples, the food is prepared in ghee, if not all temples, in majority of the temples. Lastly, we'll talk about the urine and the dung. The urine and the dung are by nature warm, bitter, and strong, and they are known for controlling a lot of stomach disorders. They're excellent for skin diseases, particularly leprosy. And the dung by nature has antiseptic, bactericidal properties, as well as anti-bug properties. And you can see there is a little can that I was talking about. Now, cow urine is being marketed in India in cans and bottles. So rather than buying Fanta or Coca-Cola, you can buy a little bottle of cow urine. That's what it's going on. And I've seen people, there are images where people are not even buying this. It's sort of a graphic image. As the cow is urinating, they're just putting their mouth under the urine of the cow. Because that fresh urine is regarded as the most pure. It has the highest level of nutrients. And there is scientific evidence, and I can provide you all the scientific evidence. This is not hearsay. This is not sentimentality. This is actual hardcore science which has shown that urine and dung are absolutely fantastic for our health. Srila Prabhupada himself quotes, "Cow urine and dung are uncontaminated. And since even the urine and dung of a cow are important, we can just imagine how important the cow is. If the byproducts, the excreted products of the cow are so important, what to speak of the cow?" And this is an interesting figure, that India has approximately 30 crore cattle, which is about 300 million. If we can save 6 crore ton of firewood every year by using the dung as used as a biogas, that is the ratio. Unfortunately, not very many people are using cow dung as biogas, except in the villages, not in the cities. So as I told you, the cow dung has very interesting features. One interesting feature which I personally was not aware of, and it's a learning lesson for me as well, is it is an anti-radioactive component. It is said, this is a very interesting research done by Sri Nandan Nandan Das, also known as Stephen Knapp. I read a lot of his articles. He has done an amazing amount of research. He found that when there was the gas leak, some of you may know, coming from India, in 1984 in the state of Madhya Pradesh, in the city called Bhopal, there was a gas leak at the Union Carbide plant, which is owned by the Dow chemical industry. And this gas leak was very detrimental. It led to the death of 20,000 people. But interestingly, those people who lived in houses which were plastered with cow dung were never affected by the radioactive elements. And today, this may come as a surprise, atomic power centers which generate atomic energy in India and Russia use cow dung to shield against radioactive leakage. This is a very astounding fact which particularly I wasn't aware of. The World Health Organization has given us a very solemn picture. We all know what's happening with bacteria and how important it is for us not to take antibiotics unnecessarily. Why? Most of the bacteria today are developing resistance, and it is stated by WHO that within the next 4 years, the majority of the bacteria, the bugs, will develop complete resistance to antibiotics. So if we get a bacterial infection, how are we going to get cured? It's a very dangerous thought. But the cows are going to save us. Why? All the five components from the cows have excellent medical qualities, whether used singly or in conjunction. And the best part is, all the cow products do not have any adverse side effects. So that's another reason to protect the cows, because we can use the products as medical therapies. So I'm going to switch gears right now and discuss the bad side of the coin. So far, I've given you the good part, how beautiful the cows are, how divine they are, what sort of things we can get from the cow, and what our founder Acharya has said in the scriptures, how Krishna Balaram played with the cows. Now for some very dirty statistics in terms of how cows are treated in the world today. In India, 60,000 cows are slaughtered every single day. That's in a day. So you can calculate how many cows are slaughtered every year. In the US, this number, and that's an old number actually, that number is from 2002. That's 12 years ago. So double up this number. There could be about 400,000 cows which are slaughtered every single day in the US. And this table, I'm sorry, you may not be able to read it, the people who are in the back, but this shows you the statistics of how rapidly the slaughterings have increased in United Kingdom in just 2 years, from 2009 to 2010. Every kind of cow, whether it's a calf, it's a bull, or other animals, are rapidly being slaughtered in the world today. So what is cow slaughter leading to? A lot of damage. A huge impact on the environment. And in fact, there are pages and pages dedicated to show how the environment is getting destroyed. It is stated that to generate 1 pound of wheat, it takes 60 pounds of water. But to generate 1 pound of meat, in this case beef, 6,000 pounds of water are required. That's an astounding amount of water. And particularly in California, when there's no water, where is the water going to? It's not going to humans. It's going to feed the cattle, which are going to be slaughtered. And that's the skew in the balance. This was an astounding figure. This was a recent observation made by some of the organizations who are protecting the animals. There was a large chicken slaughtering plant in USA, which was using 100 million gallons of water every single day to rear the chickens. And these chickens were not going to have a beautiful life. These chickens were meant to be slaughtered as well. How many people can that 100 million gallons of water feed? 25,000 people. So you can see the statistics for yourself. I don't need to expand on this. How biased and how terribly the balance is tilted towards satisfying people's greed and people's need to satisfy their tongues, because they cannot control their senses. They need to have meat. Land usage, meat and war. In the book, in the journal entitled Plant Foods for Human Nutrition, there is a study that was done that showed that a certain stretch of land, that an acre of beans or peas produces 10 times more proteins than the same area of land which was set aside for meat production. And that is a scientific study which was published. I won't even go into this aspect. That's a very huge aspect of what detrimental impacts meat eating has on the health. In fact, there are volumes and volumes of books available on this. There are potentially very hazardous chemicals present in the meat. In the book entitled Poisons in Your Body, the authors have stated, animals are kept alive and fattened by continuous administration of hormones, antibiotics, and thousands of drugs. Although these drugs will still be present in the meat, the law does not require that they be listed on the package. And that is how people are getting completely miseducated. They have no idea what they're eating because it's not declared on the package, unfortunately. So what is the hidden cost of meat? 1 pound of beef production requires 16 pounds of grain consumption. And in terms of calories per acre, a vegetarian diet will support 20 times more people than a diet of meat. And the planet can support 20 billion people if the entire land was used for cultivating vegetables and crops rather than for cultivating cattle and other animals for meat production. So what is the exact cost of a Big Mac? Huge, huge cost. To generate one burger, it takes $12. And where are these impacts going? Totally impacting health, subsidies, the environment, cruelty, and finally the actual retail price. That is what is going in the production of one burger. And all you have to do is go on McDonald's webpage and see with how great pride they are disclosing that they have just recently distributed their 10th or 11th billion burger. That's how they are glorifying themselves, unfortunately. So believe it or not, this is a very solemn situation. The cow is very sacred in India because Krishna happened to appear in India in the land of Vrindavan. So one would logically think that India is the land of the cow, so the cow should be protected in India and respected. Unfortunately, nothing could be more far from the truth. Cow slaughter is very prominent in India, and even today, millions of people in India consume beef, despite showing an image of respect for the cows. There are a large number of illegal slaughterhouses even in India. The government has sanctioned 3,600 slaughterhouses, but there are over 30,000 illegal slaughterhouses in India, particularly in two places, Chennai and Mumbai. And in each slaughterhouse, 15,000 cows are killed every single day. And this was an article, this is a headline I took from an Indian newspaper, which stated, India becomes the main world beef exporter in 2012. The country where the cow is regarded as sacred is world's number one beef exporter. Digest that fact and see where we stand. We have 395,000 more years to go for Kali Yuga. We don't know how worse can it get than this. It's really bad. These are some very interesting statistics. In 1947, when India gained independence, there were 300 slaughterhouses. Today, there are 35,000 slaughterhouses. The cow breeds, the indigenous breeds, have fallen from 70 to 33. The total population of the cow has been reduced by 80%. India has been rapidly increasing the export of beef to the Western world every single year. So what are cows slaughtered for in India? For their hides, their skins, to make vanity bags, purses, belts. The bone meal, the ash, is used in toothpaste. You may not know it, but I'm going to show you some products which have cow products in them. The blood is utilized for making vitamin tablets. And the intestines, the entrails of the cows, are used for making the gold and the silver wafers which are put on top of Indian sweets. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? That sweet is known as barfi, right? So I would highly, highly encourage you never to buy barfi which have the silver foil on it, because that foil has been flattened to such a thin paper-like consistency by grounding it between the intestines of the cow. That's how it is made, unfortunately. So these are all myths. If someone says that meat is the only source of protein, you should counteract them and argue that no, there are large amounts of proteins existing in beans and pulses as well. And we can get all our essential amino acids from the dairy products as well. We don't need to turn to a burger. We don't need to turn to other animals. We have our cheese, our lentils, and our beans and nuts. Now, this is very interesting that I found. This is coming from a site. One of my colleagues who is very interested in cow protection provided me this particular information. It has been observed that as the number of slaughterhouses are increasing in the world, likewise, the natural calamities in the world are also increasing. This could be floods, tornadoes, tsunamis, and earthquakes. It has been seen that when the earthquake struck India in 1993 in the town of Latur, just a few hours before the earthquake struck, a specific breed of cows known as Devani started behaving very strangely. They started moving, they started crying, and they started jumping. And the humans could not make out why the cows are acting so strangely. And the same was repeated just a few days before the tsunami struck in 2004. Three specific breeds of cows again started behaving strangely. Unfortunately, the humans could not make out why the cows are behaving this way. There is ample scientific evidence which suggests that animals do very strange things before a natural calamity strikes. And we should pay attention to all these signs that the animals are giving us of impending danger. So living cows are actually an economic asset. They are not a drain on the economy. A living cow yields more food than a dead one by providing us all the five components that I talked about. So today, there are a large number of movements to save the whales, to save the dolphins, to save the seals. But where is the movement to save the cows? There should be a movement as strong and as passionate to save our wonderful cows and bulls as well. Yes. So unfortunately, the situation is very grim. God gave us the country where we could have led a very peaceful and simple life, but man turned it into a city. And the urbanization has led to the development of modes of passion and ignorance, and 99.9% of the people today are simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not trying to understand what is more important for our life. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, very vehemently said, try for plain living and high thinking. The purpose of human life is not to satisfy ourselves. The purpose is to ask, who am I? Where am I coming from? What is my point in life? All these questions should be very important in our mind. But the modern lifestyle, unfortunately, doesn't allow for these questions. Why? People are just trying so hard to satisfy their senses. They are not concerned about anything else, unfortunately. So what is real wealth? Real wealth is not how much stock we have, how many cars we have. The real wealth is, do we have a small tract of land with a little cow and a little land to grain, to harvest our grain? That is more than enough for us. Unfortunately, today people spend more time on the road rather than thinking about what is more important to me, who am I? That is the grim reality. So now, in the next 10 or 12 minutes, I'm going to show you how some of the very famous people in the world who are currently, some of them are still alive, some of them are not, have strongly advocated for cow protection and vegetarianism. We'll start with one of my wonderful scientist here, Albert Einstein. He states, nothing will benefit human health and increase the chances for survival of life on Earth as much as the evolution to a vegetarian diet. Since Einstein was the greatest physicist of his time, he also said, it is easier to denature plutonium, plutonium is used for making nuclear weapons, than to denature the evil spirit of man. That's what he stated. In fact, he wrote a letter to a great physicist in India, C.V. Raman, and he said to him in the letter, tell the people of India that if they want to survive and show the world a path to survive, then they should forget about the tractor and preserve the ancient tradition of plowing. This is what a very well-renowned scientist is saying to another scientist. A Russian proverb states, I don't care how many pails of milk I lose, as long as I don't lose the cow itself. Charles Dickens has stated, cows are my passion. What I have ever sighed for has been to retreat to a Swiss farm and live entirely surrounded by cows. The great actress Cloris Leachman has stated, this is a very profound realization, I have a terrible image in my mind of a cow going to slaughter. There's not a lot of fight in them. The pigs, they would squeal and thrash around. It's almost as if cows don't know they have a choice. Not that they don't panic, but they do so in a very quiet way. Grant Wood, the American painter, has said, all the really good ideas I ever had came to me while I was milking a cow. That's very interesting. Martin Luther, a very well-renowned German priest in the 19th or the 18th century, stated, mankind has a free will, but it is free to milk cows and to build houses. Nothing more than that. Gandhi has said, the cow to me is a sermon on pity. Cow slaughter and manslaughter, in my opinion, are two sides of the same coin. Vinci stated, truly, man is the king of beasts, for his brutality exceeds theirs. We live by the death of theirs. We are burial places. I have since an early age abjured the use of meat. He is one of the most prominent vegetarian in the societies today. Joan Gassau, a very avid environmentalist and a food expert, has stated, as for butter versus margarine, I trust cows more than chemists, which is very interesting. And finally, Bill Warren, an American author, has said very interestingly, there is something about getting up at 5 a.m., feeding the chickens, and milking a couple of cows before breakfast that gives you a lifelong respect for the price of butter. Very interesting. So where are these cows coming from? As I told you earlier, the origin of all the cows that we see on our planet is the mother of all cows, known as Surabhi, who is very dear to Lord Krishna. As men are made after the form of the Lord, so all the cows are made after the features of Surabhi. Surabhi is also known as Havirdhani, and the milk harvested from Surabhi and all the cows today is very precious. Why? The milk yields butter, and that butter is very important to perform sacrifices. And why should we perform sacrifices? To appease the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is why cow protection is extremely important. This is a very interesting fact. I must confess, I'm trying my best to find scientific evidence for this. This statement is taken from a large number of sites, ISKCON as well as non-ISKCON, who have dedicated their whole energy in protection of the cows. It is said that at the hump of a cow, there is a little cow shown there. At the hump of a cow, there is a very special nerve, and that nerve is known as Surya Ketu Nadi. That nerve is shown or has been speculated to absorb very harmful radiations and found to cleanse the atmosphere. It is said that the cow's milk, the butter and the ghee are golden in color naturally because this nerve on interaction with the solar rays produces gold salts in the cow's blood, which is known for curing lots of diseases. And the ghee, which is offered in the fire sacrifices, is known to control the ozone layer and shield the earth from the harmful radiations coming from the sun. Now, I have to find some scientific evidence for this, but I love cows, so I'm just going to believe this blindly because I trust cows, so I'm sure this is true. So I'm just going to warn you here. I don't know if there's some little kids in the gathering. I'm going to show you some very graphic images here. This is the bad part of my talk, but it is very important that we look at both sides of the coin because that will hit your heart. And it's very important to hit your heart because that's how a change can be made in the world today. So please, viewer discretion is advised. I'm going to show you some images of slaughterhouses. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let you digest these images. You don't have to see them if you don't want to. But to get the point across, it's very important for me to show you how mercilessly these cows and the bulls and the other animals are killed. And when their throats are slit, they are still alive. They are still alive. I was doing some research. There was a site, a dairy farm site from Australia. It was an amazingly obnoxious site because it was telling how many minutes a cow survives, what kind of noises a cow makes when its throat is slit. It was a very nasty sight to read, but I had to read it because the information was very important. So you can see how a cow is slaughtered and left to die. And on the right lower panel, you can see a cow which is slaughtered, but the cow is still alive. The neck is completely severed. It's going to stay like that for the next 19 or 20 minutes, feeling immense pain. And on the left, you can see a commercial slaughterhouse where the cow is passed through a platform, like an assembly line, and the head goes through a little pulley, and then the blade comes in. This is another commercial slaughterhouse where the cows are slaughtered thousands in number. This is just not one or two cows. These are slaughtered thousands, and it's an assembly line. And you can see it's a very graphic picture at the lower level panel, which can show you how degraded the human being has become. How can a human being fall to such a low level and have absolutely no compassion for the mother who is giving us cow, who is giving us milk? This is a very bad picture that I dug out from one of the festivals which is held in the Islamic tradition known as Eid, Eid al-Adha, which shows you how people gather around a huge assembly area where thousands and thousands of cows are slaughtered during that particular time of the year. And even in other religious traditions, cows are slaughtered avidly. But even in India, cow slaughter is very prominent. Hundreds of cows are jammed together in one small vehicle. They are transported miles and miles away without food and water, and they are slaughtered mercilessly, and they are treated mercilessly also, as can be shown in the lower left panel there. And this is going on in India. This is not in the Western world. This is in India. But surprisingly, I have some very interesting information from you. What is the take of Islam on cow protection? Because the majority of the Muslim population eat beef. But it would be very surprising for you to know that Quran disapproves of cow slaughter. It is stated in Quran, Akar mul bakar fainaha saidul bahaima, which means respect the cow, the four-legged captain. Muzaffar Hussain, a very prominent Muslim lawyer in India, has written in his book, he states, there is not a single chapter in the Holy Quran that allows any killing of cows or bulls. This is a very prominent Muslim lawyer, and he's very bold enough to say this very openly in India. There's a Muslim tribe who lives in Rajasthan even today, and that tribe is a Sunni Muslim tribe known as Rath. Even today, they protect cows, and they were the ones who revolted against the British in 1857 because the British told them to use cattle cow fat to make cartridges for the guns, and they completely refused to listen to the British. And going back to the Mughal kingdoms, even the Mughal emperors did not allow cow slaughter. Babur, the great Mughal emperor, stated in his autobiography, quote, "The day any Mughal emperor ignores this will of cow protection, the common people shall reject him. This is what the Mughal emperors have said. And finally, a very famous Iranian philosopher has stated in his book, the meat from cows is an illness. Its milk is pure, which means good for health. So these are very prominent people in the Islamic tradition who are voicing their concerns and saying that the Quran does not allow cow slaughter. So why is beef being consumed so avidly? Because the scriptures are being misinterpreted, unfortunately. So we'll end up in the next two or three slides by looking at the more positive aspect, as quoted in the Bhagavatam. The cow is the most important animal for developing the human body to perfection. The body can be maintained by any kind of foodstuff, but cow's milk is particularly essential. So it is my humble plea, I earnestly beg you, please protect the cows. As stated in the light of the Bhagavad, the killing of cows by the human society is one of the grossest policies, and all those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must first turn their attention for the protection of cows. So I'm just going to give you, can I have about three or four more minutes, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Is that okay? I just wanted to give you some information. What kind of byproducts are used from the cows in today's world? The tallow is a fat coming from cattle, and tallow is extensively used in wax paper. I won't read the whole list. You can see for yourself. The crayons that are used for children contain beef fat. Lipsticks, shaving creams, cosmetics may have beef fat. Gelatin is a protein obtained by boiling the skin and the hoofs of the cows, extensively common in shampoos and cosmetics and puddings. Leather, used extensively for making purses, car seats, shoes, furniture, and so forth. And this is a very small list that I wanted to show you, which is likely to use cow products. Likely. So when you buy these products, it's very important. If you buy a toothpaste and it says glycerin, please note that the glycerin can be derived from cow fat. So it's very important that you call up the company, whether it's Pepsodent or Colgate or whatever, and ask them whether your glycerin or stearic acid is vegetarian based or is it animal based. And you can do that for all the other products, including candles, margarine, bags, and so forth, shaving creams and so forth. So I'm just going to quickly skip over these slides. I'm severely above time. But these are products probably you did not know use animal ingredients. Plastic bags, tires, musical instruments. There's a Canadian company who is no longer producing fuels from corn and sugarcane. Rather, they are harvesting biofuels from beef and chicken leftover parts, unfortunately. Fireworks also use stearic acid. Fabric softener, Downy's fabric softener is loaded with beef fat. Shampoo and conditioners, toothpaste, and you can read the list for yourself. Huge list. This is just 13 components. The list has about 125 different food products as well as normal products used in the society today. So please, again, take action. You should contribute for providing shelter to the homeless cows, support the existing cow shelters, promote widespread consumption of rural-made cow products, and appeal to your local government and non-governmental organization for a sustainable economy. And this is just a list of what we are doing in ISKCON. ISKCON is very prominently supporting cow protection. This shows you a list where ISKCON has set up a lot of farms and a lot of centers which are prominently promoting cow protection. West Virginia, Pennsylvania, UK, India, Australia, Florida, and so forth. And I have a whole list of resources with me which I would like to share with you if anyone is interested in finding out more about where you can find links for cow protection and how you can help out with the cows. Please come and take a flyer from me. And we will essentially end the class here with the message, please, please protect the cows. This is a little brahmachari telling a butcher, please don't kill my cow. Right? So cows are crying. The cows also cry. All you have to do is look at their eyes and they cry. They're crying every single minute because they are being separated from their babies and they're being slaughtered mercilessly. So my appeal to you is, please save them. Gau Mata Ki Jai. Anybody would like to have a flyer, a copy of this? This gives you what are the sites where you can go to for protecting the cows. Thank you.
Thank you again. Brilliant. Yeah, love you. Well, terrible. Thank you. Sure, you're welcome.